Ominous words, and then a promise. Revelation 3, verses 1 through 6, as we continue this study of these letters to the churches of Revelation. Revelation 3, verses 1 through 6. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Yet you have still a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The word of God. No matter how much of an early bird you are, there's always someone else who's earlier. My hilarious Aunt Avis. She always made us laugh. She always had something funny to say. She was Jewel with a southeastern Pennsylvania accent instead of a Kentucky accent. Aunt Avis, she was one of my mom's older sisters, was an early riser. And that's fine. Getting out of bed early is a great way to get a jump on our daily to-do list, as long as you're quiet about it. Aunt Avis was prone to show up at our house at the crack of dawn or call on the phone before the chickens were awake. Her philosophy came through loud and clear in what she said one time as she called our house before 6 a.m. My mother picked up the phone, and when she heard it was Aunt Avis, because she was probably worried, this is before caller ID, before you could see who was on the phone, and she had kids in college and around and out and about, mother exclaimed, "Avis, it's not even 6 o'clock yet." And Aunt Avis replied, "If you're not awake, you should be." The church in Sardis was not awake, and they should have been. They were asleep at the wheel. The message Jesus had for them was, wake up. Wake up. Sardis was a city that should have been safe from conquering armies. It was situated on a low mountain with 1,000-foot cliffs surrounding it on at least three sides. Twice in its history, however, this city that should have been safe were conquered because their inhabitants left their guard down as they rested in a false sense of security behind those walls atop the cliffs. Jesus here, in his letter to the church at Sardis, is laying the charge of the same kind of laxity on the Christians who lived there. The reputation of the city for being lax and sleepy and non-alert. He's saying, the Christians even have this reputation. David Guzik tells us that Sardis was a city well known for its softness and luxury, and its well-deserved reputation for apathy and immorality. Like Thyatira, the church we looked at last week, the church in Sardis Sardis enjoyed an almost trouble-free existence. Unlike Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamum, the first three churches we looked at, who experienced extensive persecution for being Christ followers because they stood in opposition to the imperial court, the cult, and refused to worship the emperor, the Christians of Sardis had little more to worry about than where the party was going to be this week. Sardis was the Las Vegas or Atlantic City of the first century. It had a reputation of being a sin city. And even in a culture, you know, the Greco-Roman culture was a sinful culture. It was characterized by all kinds of immorality and licentiousness, all kinds of sexual sin, and yet they were seen as being, the people of Sardis were seen as being especially sinful. That's a reputation. The combination of money and a loose moral environment made the people of Sardis notoriously soft and pleasure-loving. They were hedonists. William Barclay describes the church this way. The great characteristic of Sardis was that even on pagan lips, Sardis was a name of contempt. Its people were notoriously loose-living, notoriously pleasure and luxury loving. Sardis was a city of the decadents. That's Barclay's words. Now, this is a dubious distinction. And the bad thing was, instead of being a light in a dark place and making a difference, the church in Sardis had dropped its guard and were in danger of being conquered by this evil culture. They were slipping into it. They were sleeping blissfully as the enemy crept in. And for that reason, Jesus has nothing good to say. Nothing. In the four letters that we've looked at previously, Ephesus and Pergamum and the other ones, Jesus always starts with praise in every single one of them. Jesus turns the discussion with, but I have this. He did that in three of the four. In Sardis, he doesn't do that. He just starts right out. I have nothing good to say here. There's no praise for this church. Only a warning wake-up call. All's not lost, though. He says, wake up and become conquerors. Turn the tide of the battle. And this is fortunate, and there's a lot to learn here. When you think that all's lost, here's what we can learn. First of all, we can see that this is God speaking here. Again, this is God speaking. The words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Revelation 3, the first verse, right out of the starting block. This may be a letter penned by the Apostle John, but these are the very words of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the one who has the seven spirits and the seven stars. And he's also the one who can recall the spirit from the church. If you don't use it, you lose it. And there's a clear warning here. Don't take the Holy Spirit for granted. Don't take the Holy Spirit for granted. And don't forget, Jesus knows our works. He knows what we're doing. He sees. And what he sees is, in their case, your good reputation is giving you a bad reputation. He says, I know your works. You have the reputation for being alive because they appeared to be a happening fellowship. Vance Havner writes, we are not to get the impression that Sardis was a defunct affair with the with the building a wreck, the members scattered, the pastor ready to resign. It was a busy church with meetings every night, committees galore, wheels within wheels, promotion and publicity, something going on all the time. It had a reputation for being alive, wide awake, a going concern. Now, that's putting it into 21st century terms. Lots of programs, everything happening. I'm sure it was it's similar things, just translated to the first century. And the point here is, you can have it all together and be on the verge of collapse. And that was definitely the case here. And Jesus minces no words, but you're dead. He says, you have the reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Ouch. Now, we've seen this throughout these studies, and we see it again here. God is watching over you, the VBS song. And it can seem creepy if you're the paranoid type, but if you think about this, he's watching because he loves us, and he wants us on the right path, and helping others onto the right path. Last night, Grady wanted to help us make supper. And he was sure that he could cut hot dogs up for the beanie weenies we were making with a sharp knife. You know, I wasn't being creepy by watching him and making sure he didn't chop his finger off. I was watching because I cared, because I didn't want him to chop his finger off. And before you think I'm a terrible papa, we gave him a butter knife to finish the job because we were watching and seeing that it wasn't going really well. It's comforting to know also that as Jesus watched, as he watched this church here in Sardis, he saw them or who they really were and what potential they had. He's pointing out that a good reputation is no guarantee for what our hearts really reveal. Despite their good reputation, Jesus saw them as dead. And he says, wake up. Wake up before I show up. Like a thief in the night. But there's hope because he's giving them a chance. Guzik makes a great point here, and it's a timely warning for the American church. And yes, we are part of the American church. And so we need to listen to this. He says, dead, and where Jesus says, but you are dead, this indicates no struggle. When you're dead, there's no fight. There's not even any persecution. Because they're acting dead. It wasn't that the church at Sardis was losing the body. A dead body has lost the battle, and the fight seems over. In this letter, Jesus didn't encourage the Christians in Sardis to stand strong against persecution or false doctrine, probably because there simply wasn't a significant danger of these things in Sardis. Being dead, the church in Sardis presented no significant threat to Satan's domain, so it wasn't worth attacking. And John Caird adds this. He says, Sardis was a perfect model of inoffensive Christianity. Now, how's that for a description? I mean, I don't think we should go around trying to make people mad, trying to be offensive, because that serves no purpose, and people see right through it. They know when you're trying to make trouble. It's just wrong. But neither does standing for nothing in the face of a deteriorating culture that's infiltrating the church. The Bible means what it says, and we need to believe it, and we need to follow it, or we're dead. We need to follow what this says. In three of the four churches we looked at over the previous four Sundays, there was the prominent mention of Satan. But it's obvious that Satan wasn't even worried about Sardis. They were doing nothing without his assistance. He could apply his efforts to the other six churches. He didn't have to worry about Sardis. And this is a sad, sad message, and it's what Keith Green was getting at in his song, No One Believes in Me Anymore, where he's singing as Satan taunting the church. He says, still, my work goes on and on, always stronger than before. I'm going to make it dark before the dawn since no one believes in me anymore. Well, I used to have to sneak around, but now they just open up their doors. You know, no one watches for my tricks since no one believes in me anymore. Sardis and the American church, all of us, not just the liberal ones or the conservative ones who are more interested in what Tucker said this past week, being more interested in what the fact that their neighbors are dying without Jesus. All of us are in danger of dying in our sleep if we get complacent. That's my point. Sardis was complacent. But here's the hope. And Jesus tells them, remember what you were taught and go back to it. Remember back with Ephesus. Remember your first love. Go back to that. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. That's a grim warning. But even so, in the midst of that warning is a promise, just like what Wayne read to us. It's a warning and then a promise. Wake up and repent. Jesus then encourages the ones who have not been caught sleeping, yet you have still a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Guzik writes, even before the dead Christians in Sardis, there was a faithful remnant, but only a few names. In Pergamos, Revelation 2:14, and in Thyatira, Revelation 2:20, there were a few bad among the good. In Sardis, there were a few good among the bad. No matter how prophets of doom try to predict it, the church will never be defeated. The church can't be defeated. It's God's called out ones. There's always a faithful remnant. Over the case of holy history, when the church had seemingly lost its way, there have always been faithful Christ followers who have stood for Jesus, even if they were martyred for their faithfulness. But it shouldn't be a remnant. A remnant, just by its description, sounds small. It shouldn't be a small number. We should all be alive and fully awake. We should be a multitude of faithful. So let's not rest on our laurels and fall asleep. Let's wake up. Let's wake up and let's be conquerors. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Thank you for the fact that you warn us and you provide a way. Thank you that even with warnings come promises. And I thank you for